you're watching online this morning, we're going to do communion at the end. And so if you want to grab some bread, if you want to grab the closest thing you have to grape juice, do that. And you can partake with us at the end of the message. If you are here, we have that covered today. All right. I'm going to talk this morning just on, I'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 21. 11 through 21 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And these are Paul's words. And he talks about reconciliation here. And so I want us to look at that. We've had a lot happen in our nation this summer. And you know what? We're not still quite halfway there. We're almost to the 21st, the longest day, right? It's amazing that that'll be the longest day of summer, and then we start going the other way. I feel like summer just has arrived, but even that. I was looking back just at some past messages, and 3 years ago we talked about faithful presence, that term faithful presence, and it comes out of a passage in the Old Testament where the Israelites are in Babylon, and they think, you know what, we're just going to be here for a time out, just for a short period of time. God got mad at us, and we're in Babylon, but God's going to deliver us. And there was even false prophets that were echoing those words and saying, hey, you're going to be released, and you're going to go back. But God speaks to Jeremiah and says, know what, get comfortable, because you're going to be here for a while, 70 years to be exact. And that came true. God spoke through Jeremiah, and they were there 70 years. And in that process, he says, settle down, get married, do whatever you can do to lead to peace in this country that you are in, and work towards the help of that government. So just think about this. So they're exiles. They've been taken captive from their homeland. Their homeland has been destroyed. And just think how easy it would be to be bitter or to cause harm within that government. Instead, God says, get comfortable, have kids, get married, and do whatever you can do to lead to peace in that nation. And so the term comes out of there, just that idea of faithful presence, of how we can be that faithful presence, a faithful witness in our communities, in our nation. To be whatever, to work within our nation in a means that leads to peace and the help of our nation. So I want us to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 21. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is quick, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it is living. So we ask you to make it come alive for us this morning. We ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Paul says, since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but by giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than in what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us. That's a key phrase there. Because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but live for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this is a favorite verse, right? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, all things are new. All this is from God, who reconciled us unto himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them. And he was committed to us the message of reconciliation. So he's now extended that ministry to us. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, messengers, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. That we might become the righteousness of God. There's a few things that I want to pull out from this passage here in the moments that we have. First of all, that passion flows from our pursuit, God's pursuit of us. When we think about us being ambassadors or messengers of peace, telling other people about what Christ can do in our life, how He shaped and changed our life, the passion for that doesn't come because, hey, I have to do it because I have to do it. For Paul, it became, he said, for Christ's love compels us. It became out of his own conversion experience and how Christ pursued him. If you go back and look at his story in the book of Acts, he was a persecutor of Christians, right? He was very zealous for the Jewish faith. And in that zealousness, he was out there persecuting these Jewish converts to Christianity, to the followers of Christ. He was even putting some to death at his hands. And it was on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians that Christ reached out to him, blinded him, reached out to him, and he says, "Who are you?" And he says, "I am Christ, the one that you are persecuting." Paul was, his life was totally turned upside down at that time. God extended grace and mercy to him. And Paul understands that. As he gets later on in ministry, he understands that there's no reason that he should have been saved. There's no reason that God should have redeemed him because he calls himself the worst of sinners, and yet Christ pursued him. And that is one of the great theological truths, is sometimes we think, you know what, I found God. But in reality, God found you, and He reached out to you. He's pursued you with an everlasting love. If God hadn't taken that first step and reached out to you and I, there's no way that we could have had the grace and mercy to know Him and to reach out to Him. But God sent us Christ in flesh, and then He died on the cross so that we could have grace and so that we could approach a holy and an awesome God. And for Paul, that desire to be an ambassador, a messenger of peace, came from that Christ's love compels us. No other reason there, but then other than Christ's love compels us and redeems us. Amen? Secondly, Paul says that reconciliation is a God thing. If we think that we can bring peace with God just on our own initiative and we can make it happen, we're wrong. If we think that we can save people, your neighbor, your family, it's not going to happen. It's only through prayer and God working in their life. And for Paul, it wasn't human persuasion that converted him. It was the Spirit of God that got a hold of him and changed and transformed your life. How many have loved ones that you would like to see come to Christ? You know what? You reach out to them, but it's going to be your prayers and it's going to be God working in their heart and their life that's going to change and transform them. And that's the only way that our culture can be totally changed and transformed, is that it's a God thing. It's a totally a God thing working in people's lives. Scripture calls it, Paul really refers to that as a metamorphosis. All right? That's what a butterfly goes through, right? So if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. Behold, all things have become new. That the Greek there, if you go into the original language, means a metamorphosis. So a caterpillar goes into the cocoon, right? Comes out a beautiful butterfly. That describes what God does in our life. You know, caterpillars can be kind of beautiful, can't they? Some of them. But they're not as beautiful as a butterfly. And that's what God wants to change and transform so that we are a totally new creation in Christ. That's how God redeems us. Paul puts it this way in Ephesians. He says, as for you, this is Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. You used to live, that's the way you used to live, in the ways of the world, and with the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is at work and those who are disobedient. And you have to understand, the Ephesians were, they were totally secular. They had no framework for Christianity or Christ. A lot of these people were just, they had no framework. They had no background prior to their knowledge of Christ. Some came from a Jewish background. The Gentiles probably had no framework other than idolatry. And they had some horrible idols there that they worshipped. Some that had strong sexual overtones and things like that. And yet God did a mighty work in the people of Ephesus in that community. He says all of them used to live at that time. You gratified the cravings of the sinful flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, you were by nature deserving of God's wrath. But because of his great love for us, and God who is rich in mercy, he made us alive in Christ. We were dead in our transgressions. It is for by grace you have been saved. And that God raised us up with Christ seated at the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show you the incomparably great riches of his grace expressed in kindness to us through Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Reconciliation is a God thing. It is for by grace you've been saved, not of yourselves. And that is the reconciliation, the message that we share with other people as we are his messengers of peace. The third thing there in your program is that we are God's messengers of peace. He makes his appeal through us. We are his messengers of peace. Jesus came in the flesh, and now he's given us that commission. Go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And one of the greatest stories of a community being transformed is the community of Ephesus. It was a metropolitan city. It was a commerce city. People were coming in and out of there. They had every kind of sin imaginable. We think things are bad now. I can guarantee you Ephesus was just as bad or maybe even worse. And yet God came into that community and so transformed it that they burned their sorcerer's scrolls. They had a big bonfire and everybody burned their scrolls that had come out of witchcraft and sorcery. They just had that big bonfire and they burned them all up. They turned from idolatry in such a great fashion that the idol makers went out of business and they started a revolt. They tried to kill Paul because their business had so dried up because people were turning to Christ. God had so transformed that heathen community that it had totally changed form that community by the power of God. Do you think God can still do that today in our nation, in our world? I think he can. He breathes upon it by his Holy Spirit. Reconciliation is a God thing. And as we look at the problems in our nation, whether it's this thing of racism that is we're fixated on right now, or whether it is just the pursuit of ill things that displease God, whatever the case may be, God can come in and heal our nation and heal our land. This is what he says, going back to Ephesians chapter 2, picking up where we left off, verse 11 through 22. He says, therefore, you were formerly Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who were of the circumcision, in other words, by the Jewish people. Remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, so there wasn't fellowship there. Sin divided them. You were excluded from citizenship in Israel, and you were a foreigner to the covenants of the promise. You were without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You've been included. For he himself is your peace. He has made the two groups one, and he has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside the flesh, the law, its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one humanity of two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached Christ and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. In other words, to the Jews and the Gentiles. For through him we have both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you're no longer foreigners or strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ as a chief cornerstone. In him, the building is being joined together as a holy temple. You know what is Paul saying here? He's talking about what? Reconciliation with God, right? Jews and Gentiles, they're all... Christ destroyed that division. He destroyed sin so we can have peace with God. But he's also talking about another kind of reconciliation. Between who? Between the Jews and the Gentiles. He brought peace between them. He destroyed the hostility there. Back in that time, that was the racial divide, Jew and Gentile. I was listening to an audio podcast and they could know. They knew if you were a Jew or a Gentile and they treated you as such. Today, maybe it's based upon religion, or maybe it's based upon a color of a person's skin. But see, in Christ, God doesn't see any of those things. He sees unity in Christ, and we've all been made one through Christ. There is no division. And see, that is the message we have for our world, is to be reconciled with God, but also that reconciliation extends to our earthly relationships, to bring healing there. And the church should lead the way. We should be on the forefront, leading that way, extending love, grace, equality to the world around us. He is our peace. And reconciliation is a message that he's given to us to be reconciled to God and reconciled with the world around us. In the midst of antagonism, violence, hatred, unforgiveness, God has called us to be a faithful presence in this world, demonstrating his values of the kingdom of God. Not the values of this world, but the values that he has. And as Jesus walked this earth and he demonstrated grace and mercy and forgiveness, those are the same values he's called us to model here on this earth, because they're the values of the kingdom of God. And one day we're going to be with him. One day we're going to be in that kingdom. But we're not there yet. But he calls his people to model the values of the kingdom of heaven, not the kingdom of this world. That is our model. That is our goal to pursue and to be messengers of peace. Amen? Amen. Paul calls us to find peace with God and then to be messengers of peace to the worlds around us. Amen. I'm going to have Rebecca... we're going to partake in communion at this time, and I'm going to have Amy come back, and she's going to lead us in a closing song, which is also going to ask for communion. So if you're watching online, joining us on Facebook, we're going to partake of communion. So you got those communion supplies ready. For those here, Rebecca is going to pass out the emblems, and so maybe you've been in a church where they have those. It's a cup of grape juice, and on top is a sealed wafer, so it's all sealed, sanitary. Feel free to grab one. We'll partake of the bread first. You can peel off that first layer, grab the wafer. We'll partake of that first, and then we'll partake of the grape juice, all right? So as Rebecca distributes those, let's worship the Lord and think about what he's done in our life. I don't know if you can echo the words of Paul. You know, I was raised in the church. When I found Christ at the age of 5, I wasn't a drug addict. I wasn't hooked on a lot of bad things. But I was still without Jesus. I was still separated from the promises of God. Until that day that God stepped into my life. And at age 5, that experience is still very real. The altar call was given, and I made my way down. I still remember the joy and the happiness that was in my heart and my life at that moment. And God is a good God. He pursued me. He reached out to me. And he reaches out to you. And if you're watching on Facebook this morning or later on YouTube, God's reaching out to you this morning as well. He loves you with an everlasting love. And he loves you. You may be in the same boat as Paul and say, man, you know, maybe I murdered people. That was Paul, right? People were killed at his hands. He was a murderer. Maybe that's you this morning. Or maybe you're thinking of all the things that you've done wrong. Say, there's no way that God can forgive me. But he can. He reached out to Paul. He reached out to us here today. He can reach out to you as well. So let's just bow our hearts in prayer, our hearts and our heads, and say, God, this morning, we just come to you, Father. If that's our prayer this morning, we're separated from you, Lord. And you're speaking to us right now. Lord God, the promise is that if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say, dear God, come into my heart and my life, forgive me my sins, Lord, you've promised to come in. And Lord, we have to take that next step of making you the Lord of our life, because we need your forgiveness, but also we have to surrender our life to the Lordship of Christ, to your scripture, and to know you, Lord God, and to walk and step in accordance, Lord, because we are a new creation in you, Lord, and you call us to become like you. And Lord, that is the work of your Spirit, as your Holy Spirit convicts us and changes us and transforms us, we become more like you. And so that's our prayer this morning, that you would keep making us, that you would keep transforming us, so that, Lord, that we have peace with you, but also that we can be your messengers of peace. And until our lives are transformed, Lord God, we can't offer hope, we can't offer peace to the world around us. It begins with taking that first step to know you. Once our lives are changed, then we have a message, we have a purpose that we can share with the world around us. And that is our prayer this morning. Keep making us, keep changing us and transforming us. That is our prayer this morning. God. Amen. If you're watching at home, you can grab your bread. If you're here, grab your wafer there. These are emblems of his body and his blood. You need to turn me down. Body and blood that were poured out for us. That's what they are. They're emblems, reminders of his body that was crushed and broken for us. Grape juice symbolizes his life that was poured out for us. That he pursued us. Whether it was coming in the flesh or that he extended his grace, or that at some point in our life, whether it was through a friend or was it through the radio, through the TV, through a crisis moment in our life, God reached out to us and he was there. When we cried out, he heard our prayer. And he responded to us. And he extended his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness that we were not worthy of. But he extended it to us anyway. So that we could have fellowship, that we could have peace with God and know him as our Lord and our Savior. So this morning we partake of the bread as a reminder of his body that was broken and crushed for us. In the precious name of Jesus. Let's partake together this morning. Same way, the grape juice symbolizes his life, his blood that was poured out for us for the forgiveness of our sins. And Father, this morning we thank you that you gave your life for us. You took the sting of death. You took our sin and our punishment upon yourself so that we can know life, eternal life with you, and we have the hope of heaven. We give you the thanks. We ask it in your name. Amen. Let's partake together. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. God's good. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. If you made that commitment this morning, and especially if you're watching on Facebook or later on YouTube, you prayed that prayer maybe for the first time, or maybe you just got your life right with God again, take time to fill out that Connect card. It's on our website, and Sarah's going to post it there on Facebook Live. But take time just to let us know what God's doing in your life and what God did in your life. We'd sure appreciate that. Thank you for joining us today. Just an announcement that next Sunday we will be inside. There's a pretty good chance of rain next Sunday, so we're just going to move inside. It's Father's Day. We're going to have a special gift for dads, and we're going to maybe tie that in. The gift is going to tie in with the message. All right, I'm not going to give it all away. I have to keep some surprise there. All right. So that'll be next Sunday. And we're going to have, we already got the chairs already situated, so they're 6 feet apart. We got the floor stickers they have to put down. So we have a little bit of more work to do to get it inside ready, but it's about there. So we invite you back next week. And we'll have a little air conditioning next week. Won't have the breeze. All right. So God bless you this morning. Fellowship with one another. Facebook, say goodbye, or fellowship with one another before you log out there. So God bless you. Have a great June 14th today. God bless you all. Amen.